Is Alan Stanwyck heavily insured? Yes, very heavily. Well, it stands to reason. He has a lot riding on his nose. Who's the beneficiary? Wife and daughter, I believe. I shouldn't think they'd need the money, but since they hold a lot of stock in Collins Aviation, which he runs almost single-handedly, I suppose they would suffer at least a temporary loss upon his passing. Right, Fletcher drawled. What have you got? Well, as I just told you, he runs Collins Aviation. He's the executive vice president, has been since he married his wife. His father-in-law is president and chairman of the board, but he really leaves the running of the company to Stanwyck. It is expected that within 2 or 3 years, once he gets a little age on him, he will be made president of Collins. His father-in-law is only in his late 50s, but would rather sail his yacht and run tennis tournaments. He seems to trust Stanwyck completely. How is the company doing? Beautifully. The stock, what there is of it available, is high and solid. Never been higher, in fact. They declared a stock dividend last year. They're considered a little weak in management, but that doesn't matter so much when you have a man as young and as competent as Stanwyck running the show. And he does, absolutely. He's a hard-working fellow. It is presumed that as his father-in-law's executive team begins to retire in the next few years, Stanwyck will bring in his own fresh young team. It won't be hard for him to do so, because he's made a point of knowing almost everybody in the industry. Mind a stupid question? I'm used to them. What does Collins Aviation do? They design and manufacture subsidiary parts for airplanes. In other words, they don't make airplanes, but they might make the seats or engine parts or control panels, what have you. Without meaning to make a pun, they also have a satellite division that does the same thing for spacecraft. This latter division has grown terrifically under Stanwyck. Apparently, he's an attractive, amiable, personable man who always seems to be able to get the right contract for his company at the right time. Someone said, he's firm, but he never presses. How much is a company like that worth? To whom? I mean, what is its net worth? Well, Fletch, you don't really know what you mean. Companies aren't houses that have an approximate aggregate value. Companies are worth precisely what their stock is worth on the market at that moment. It has a considerable gross income, a nifty net return to the stockholders, a big payroll. Give me a figure. If it were a house, Collins Aviation might be worth $500 million. $500 million? Can you count that high? Not even with my shoes off. Who owns it? The Collins family, John, his wife and daughter, continue to own 50% of the company. Wow. They are very rich. Of course, the stock is actually held in foundations and trusts and what have you, but it's all John Collins when it comes time to vote. I must add that the Collins family, so you won't think they're complete dopes, have an amount equal to or greater than their investment in Collins Aviation invested through investment houses in Boston. Phew. Why Boston? You don't know much, do you, Fletcher? Not about money. I've seen so little of it. Boston is the Switzerland of this hemisphere. It is chock-a-block full of quiet, conservative investment bankers. I thought it was full of beans. It is. Other people's. How do people get as rich as Collins? If I knew, do you think I'd be sitting here? Collins is a Harvard graduate who started designing and making airplane equipment with his own hands in a rented garage on Fairbanks Avenue in the early 1930s. Patents led to capital. It's easy. Go do it. Everybody says he's a nice man, quiet, humble. He's good to his friends. Most of the rest of Collins Aviation stock is held by friends of the family. They're all as rich as lords. He's made heavy contributions to Harvard College, the Cancer Fund, Muscular Dystrophy. The Cancer Fund? He's given them something like a total of $10 million. Recently? Yes, continuously. I see. Stanwyck is a perfect man to be Collins' son-in-law, considering Collins doesn't have a son of his own. Stanwyck is from a modest family in Pennsylvania. His father's in the hardware business. Still alive? I believe so. Why'd he ask? His parents didn't come out to his wedding. Probably couldn't afford it. That would have been an expensive trip for them. Stanwyck could have paid. There could have been lots of reasons why his parents didn't come to his wedding. Ill health, business, cost. How do I know? Go on. A brilliant student all the way through, and apparently a nice kid, true blue, a Boy Scout, a Golden Gloves champion for the state of Pennsylvania who did not go on to the Nationals for some reason. Summa cum laude at Colgate, where he did not box, but began to play racket sports. An Air Force flyer who flew lots of missions, currently a major in the Air Force Reserves. graduated third in his class from Wharton Business School, which, because you probably don't know, is one of the best. Came out here, worked in the sales department of Collins Aviation, where sales immediately jumped, became a vice president at 26 or 27, and married the boss's daughter. Apparently just a magnificent young man in all ways. He sounds machine-made. Too good to be true, huh? There are people like that. Unquestionably, the guy is ambitious, but there's nothing immoral in that. He's done well, and he's well-liked. By the way, Jack, who's your source for all this? I thought you'd never ask. The Collins family has a local stockbroker, an investment man out here who does just little things for them, you know, regarding Collins Aviation stock, little things that run into the millions. Name of Bill Carmichael. We play golf together. Needless to say, Carmichael is the son of an old buddy of John Collins. His father died, and Carmichael fell heir to the account. He and Stanwyck have become close friends. Stanwyck has taken them flying. They play squash and tennis together. He genuinely likes Stanwyck, and incidentally, he says Stanwyck genuinely likes his wife, Joan Collins, which ain't always the case. There's no hanky-panky going on? Not as far as Carmichael knows. Between you and me, Stanwyck would have to be out of his mind to be playing around on the side under these circumstances. God knows what Papa would say if Stanwyck got thrown out of bed. Does Stanwyck have any money of his own? No, not to speak of. He has savings from his salary invested with Carmichael, but it doesn't amount to much over $100,000. Poor fellow. He did not buy the house on Berman Street. She did, but it's in both their names. Carmichael says it's worth maybe $1 million. However, Stanwyck maintains the house and staff and supposedly all other family expenses out of salary. Male chauvinist pride, I guess. Which is why he probably doesn't have more savings out of salary. That's an expensive family to keep up with. Incidentally, the house on Berman Street backs onto the Collins estate on, would you believe it, Collins Avenue? Old John Collins has spyglasses. I gather there's a lot of back and forth. Doesn't he own a second house anywhere? No, his father-in-law has a house in Palm Springs, one in Aspen, and one in Antibes. The kids use these houses whenever they like. Does he own his own airplane? No. Collins Aviation has 3 Lear jets with pilots, but Stanwyck flies them when he likes. He also has to do some flying to keep up his Air Force Reserve rank. And he flies experimental planes all over the country, supposedly to test Collins' equipment. Carmichael suspects he just gets a kick out of it. Stanwyck is also the holder of some stock options in Collins Aviation, so I guess if you put everything together, he's probably a millionaire in his own right at this point, but it's on paper. He couldn't raise $1 million in cash without upsetting an awful lot of people. Oh, I forgot to tell you, Fletcher. Stanwyck and his wife have just converted about $3 million of her personal stock. Converted? Into cash. Carmichael says they intend to buy a cattle ranch in Nevada. He thinks it's an effort to get out from under the heel of Daddy Collins. Go do their own thing. Is this Stanwyck's idea? Carmichael has the impression it's her idea. At least she's the one who likes horses. One can have enough of tennis and yachting, you know. I didn't know. Why cash? The ranch costs something like $15 million. I can't get used to these figures. Inflation, my boy. How can a farm be worth $15 million? Farms can be worth a lot more than that. Has Carmichael said anything to you about Stanwyck's health? No, except that he's a hell of a squash player. You have to be in pretty good shape to play that game. I tried it once, 12 minutes, and I was wiped out. Golf for me. Is there anything wrong with Stanwyck's health? Would it matter if there were? Well, it would matter a lot. I've already mentioned to you that there's a kind of middle management crisis at Collins Aviation. The whole thing now rests on the shoulders of one Alan Stanwyck. Old John Collins could go back to work, I suppose, but he never was as good a businessman as Stanwyck. He was an inventor who had some luck. Collins now has to be run by a real pro, which Daddy John ain't. Would the stock market fall if word got around that Stanwyck was terminally ill? Collins' stock sure would. That sort of thing would be very upsetting to that company. Executive personnel would start jockeying for position, some would leave outright. Things would have to be in a state of confusion for about as long as Stanwyck has been running the place. I see. So, if he were ill, I mean terminally ill, it would have to be kept a deep, dark secret. Absolutely. Is he ill? How would I know? Oh, I forgot you're working on the insurance angle. Well, young Fletcher, I've told you everything I know about Alan Stanwyck. You see, we are not very close yet to the moneyless state you write about. There's still plenty of it around. Well, I guess so. Stanwyck seems to be a competent, decent man who happened to marry the boss's daughter, okay? Mind if I go back and do my own work now? I appreciate your help very much. I'm just trying to prevent you writing one of your usual shitty pieces. Anything I could do would be worth that. Chapter 7. Fletch sat on the desk of the beauty in the broad-brimmed hat, Mrs. Amelia Shurcliffe, society editor. He had never heard that there was a Mr. Shurcliffe. Working at her typewriter, her forearms quivered with who was at the most recent party and are they getting married. She finally deigned to notice the 160-pound object on her desk.
Why, Fletch, aren't you beautiful? You always look just right. Faded jeans and T-shirt. Even no shoes. The Shoe Institute wouldn't like my saying this, and of course I'd never write it, but that's exactly what style should be. Well, darling, is.
You're kidding, of course.
Darling, I'm not.
You should tell Clara Snow.
Clara Snow, what does she know? She used to write cooking, you know. And between us, darling, she was terrible at that. Did you ever try to put together one of her recommended meals?
Somehow, no.
Desperate, just desperate. The colors all clashed. We tried it once just for fun, some friends and I at the cottage. We ended up with a hollandaise sauce, and you know what kind of a yellow that is, and carrots and beets, purple beets, all on the same plate. It was so garish, darling, we had to look away. We ate with our eyes averted. The tastes of things didn't go together either. I believe her cooking column was successful only with blind polar bears.
You know she's my editor now.
Yes, I do know you, poor darling. If she weren't going to bed with Frank, we would have upchucked her years ago. Of course, Frank has very poor taste, too. Pink shirts and strawberry suspenders. Have you ever seen his wife?
Yes.
A dowdy old thing. She always reminds me of an Eskimo full of baked beans. I mean, she looks as if she ever got unfrozen, she would evaporate in one enormous fart.
Have you ever told her so?
Oh, no, darling, I wouldn't. I can't go to bed with her husband, being both overage and overweight, but that doesn't mean I can insult his wife. Somehow, it all doesn't matter to me. Frankly, darling, I find Frank as attractive as a hangover. You're much more my type. Lean, healthy, stylish.
I'm horrified at the thought that you think I'm stylish.
But I do, darling, sincerely. Your style is exactly what Beau Brummel did in his time. All Brummel did, you know, was to bring the lean, simple country style into the city.
No, I didn't know.
You should talk with Amelia Shurcliffe more. You see how simple your clothes are. How clean the lines, jeans and T-shirt, blue and white. The lines couldn't be cleaner. You're not wearing shoes in the newspaper office, which is about as downtown as one can get. Here you can feel the whole city throbbing around you, and you're dressed as if in the middle of a hayloft. Delightful style, just right.
I'm amazed.
Who does your hair?
No one.
What do you mean, no one?
When it sticks out someplace, I chop it off.
Delightful, you're darling.
Amelia Shurcliffe was dressed in a tailored blue suit and white blouse. It was obvious she was liberated enough not to wear a corset. Her belly bulged from too many lunches and cocktail parties a week. The henna of her hair matched her face.
Well, Fletch, I'm sure you didn't come along simply to have me admire you. You could go anywhere for that. What can I do for you?
Alan Stanwyck.
Joan and Alan Stanwyck. This area's most exciting couple.
No, I shouldn't say that. They're beautiful, bright, healthy, and rich, but come to think of it, they don't really do anything.
In fact, thinking of how exciting they could be, the Stanwycks may be this area's dullest couple.
Which are they? Exciting or dull?
Rather dull, I think. He married her for Collins Aviation, of course.
You say that straight out?
Well, I suppose someone had to marry her, of course. And she's attractive enough if you like the usual American leggy blonde.
I do, actually.
I'm sure you do.
I was one, once.
Not all that leggy, of course. I was more petite. But Joan Collins Stanwyck is sort of boring, I think. I mean, she's symphony, of course. She gives that bash once a year at the Racquets Club to raise money for the violinist's rosin supply or something. And he always shows up and they stand in the receiving line and all that. Californian Gothic, if you know what I mean. They never seem to be enjoying themselves. They show up at dinners and cocktails, that sort of thing. They never seem to speak and they're spoken to. They always seem to be just going through the motions. They must do something for fun, I mean for themselves. No, I honestly think they're too busy being ideal. Perhaps they're too aware of their position. I understand he sincerely likes flying, but all the rest of it, the racket sports, the sailing, what have you, seems forced somehow for them. Of course, all that money must be oppressive.
It must be.
Jack Collins, her father, is a nifty man. Attractive, bright. I've always been slightly in love with him. Of course, he's my generation, but one has always had the idea from him, even when he's being formal, that somehow, maybe somewhere else in his mind, he's having fun. Of course, his wife, Marion, is a bit tipsy. Never could hold her liquor. Each year, they keep her more restrained. That's why I've always thought Joan must mean so much to her father. You see them together at parties, Joan and her father. You know, benefits for cancer, or muscular dystrophy, or some of his other charities, and you always understand that Alan Stanwyck is off being busy with Collins Aviation. Sometimes he makes an appearance just at the end of an evening. Joan is in a difficult position between her father and her husband. Amelia Shercliffe took a hairpin from her desk drawer and applied it arbitrarily. Perhaps that's why I think she's never having much fun. She has to be hostess for both of them.
Yes, instead of being herself, she has to have one hand working for Jack, the other for Alan.
Reading through your clips, Amelia, on the Stanwycks, it appears Joan Stanwyck has been doing less and less in recent months, making fewer and fewer appearances.
I suppose you're right.
At least her name appears in your column less and less frequently.
Now that you mention it, I'm sure you're right. She has been fading from the scene.
Why?
Well, it could mean many things. She has a child, a little daughter. She could be spending time with her. Joan could be pregnant. She could be worried about her husband. Seeing I have this idea that she doesn't enjoy herself, she could just be bored with the whole round. It has no novelty for her. She's been doing it since she came out, you know, with her father, unofficially acting as his hostess.
You said she could be worried about her husband. What did you mean?
Oh, gracious, what did I mean?
Well, her husband, Alan Stanwyck, is running an enormous company, and at an early age, that's an enormous responsibility, you know. He must work very hard and very long. And you know some of these fellows who always show a cool, pleasant face to the world are only able to do so because they fuss and fume at their wives in the privacy of their homes. If anything's wrong with him, she would know it.
You mean if he were sick?
Physically sick?
Yes.
Oh, I hardly think so. He looks the picture of health, always.
A possible explanation of her withdrawing from society in recent months is that she knows he's very sick.
I suppose so.
Is he?
How would I know?
Of course, you could speculate endlessly.
Maybe she loves him and hates his risking his life in those airplanes all the time. His flying must be a worry to her.
Amelia, do you think the Stanwycks love each other?
I always think so, unless I know differently.
Why shouldn't they?
Well, she seems to be half married to her father, the wonderfully attractive Jack Collins. It looks to me as if Jack Collins picked Alan Stanwyck to be his daughter's husband. Alan Stanwyck married Collins Aviation instead of a girl named Joan Collins.
Amelia's eyes were the sort one told the truth to. Simultaneously, they appeared concerned and skeptical.
Fletch, let me tell you something remarkable. In fact, the most remarkable thing I know. Are you ready for it?
All ears.
I've been a society writer and professional busybody almost all my adult years. And the most remarkable thing I have learned is that people love each other when they have the least reason to, and when you least expect them to. Love matches, marriages made in heaven, work no better than marriages made in boardrooms.
Obviously, the Stanwyck's marriage was made by Alan Stanwyck and Jack Collins.
Joan just sort of got dragged along. Yet it is entirely possible that she is very much in love with Alan Stanwyck. Do you believe that?
If you say so.
I'm not saying it's true, Fletch. I'm just saying it's possible. Joan and Alan might be terrifically in love with each other.
Could Alan have a mistress?
Of course.
Would John Collins understand?
Of course.
I expect neither one of them feels confined to the marital bed, not in this day and age.
And you say John Collins would understand?
Darling, the things I could tell you about John Collins. He didn't spend all his time in that garage twisting propellers. Sometimes men feel differently where their daughters are concerned. I had a father-in-law once. He wasn't Jack Collins. One more question, Amelia. Why didn't Stanwyck's parents come for Alan's wedding? My gracious, darling, you young folks do your research, don't you? I have no idea. I suppose they felt they could have gotten eaten alive. Eaten alive? Socially, darling. I suppose they're nobodies from Middle America and would have felt dreadfully out of place. Do people still feel that way? Older people do, darling, you'll see. I wouldn't miss the wedding of my only child. Perhaps our young protagonist, Alan Stanwyck, kept them away for fear they would embarrass him. Maybe their grammar ain't no good. I don't have answers, Fletcher, to all of your questions. I remember at the wedding, whenever it was, 6 or 7 years ago, there was a vague interest in meeting the Stanwycks, but it was explained, if you can call it an explanation, that the Stanwycks couldn't make it. End of vague interest. Maybe they had dentist's appointments that day. Amelia, you're a peach. Thank you very much. I do have a bone to pick with you, young Fletcher, despite my otherwise unrestrained approval of you. Uh-oh. Has to do with that piece you wrote a couple of months ago, a little ditty called something fresh and original like Society is Dead. I'm not any more responsible for headlines than you are, Amelia. You are partly responsible, however, for the unadulterated rubbish that dribbles down from your byline. Yes, partly. That piece was rubbish, Fletcher. Oh? Society, as you see, is not dead. There is plenty of it about. Just because you found a few grandnieces and nephews of prominent people hanging about the street corner sniffing pot, or whatever you do with it, saying too loudly and too frequently that they don't care anymore, proves nothing. You haven't been reading me. Amelia, I've read every word of yours. Society changes, Fletcher, but not much. It does not die. It moves, it oozes, it changes its shape, its structure, its leaders, and its entertainments. There is always a society. As long as the instinct for power beats in the breasts of men and women, there will be a restricted clawing called society. And there will always be a society columnist called Amelia Shercliffe. Go off to bed with someone nice, darling, and be sure to tell her how I envy her. Chapter 8. Transworld Airlines. Good afternoon. This is Irwin Fletcher. I asked my office to make a reservation for me today for your flight to Buenos Aires next Thursday night at 11 o'clock. My secretary has left for the weekend, and I just wanted to check and make sure it had been done. The name again, please, sir? Fletcher, Irwin Fletcher. Flight 629 to Buenos Aires. Departure time 11 p.m. Thursday, prepaid. Do you have a reservation on that flight for Irwin Fletcher? Yes, sir. The reservation was made this morning. It will not be necessary to confirm the reservation again. Information, what city, please? In Nonhegan, Pennsylvania. The number for Marvin Stanwyck, please. All our numbers are Pennsylvania numbers, sir. In Nonhegan. In which county is Nonhegan, sir? I don't know. I'm not in Pennsylvania. How do you spell it, sir? P-E-N-N-S-Y-L. I mean the name of the town, sir. Oh, N-O-N. I found it, sir. It's in Bucks County. Thank you. When people call long-distance information, they are usually calling for Bucks County. Well, that's damned interesting. Now, what is the name you wanted? Stanwyck. Marvin Stanwyck. S-T-A-N-W-Y-K. That's the wrong way to spell Stanwyck, sir. I'll tell him. We have a Stanwyck Marvin on Beecher Road. Do you have any other Stanwyck Marvin? We have a Stanwyck Hardware on Ferncroft Road, also misspelled. Let me have both numbers, will you? Yes, sir. They're both listed in Nonhegan. Mr. Stanwyck, this is Casewell Insurers of California, sub-insurers of the subsidiary carriers of a partial policy listed by Alan Stanwyck, who's your son. Yes. Glad to catch you in, sir. I'm always in. Just a few questions, sir. Are you and your wife currently alive? Last time I looked, you damn fool. And you're both in good health? Except for a pain in the ass from answering damn fools on the telephone. Thank you, sir. And you are the parents of Alan Stanwyck, Executive Vice President of Collins Aviation? Unless my wife knows something she never told me.
I see, sir. I don't think they should let people like you dial long distance.
Very amusing, sir.
I mean, you must be costing someone a passel of money.
It's all paid for by the premium, sir.
That's what I was afraid of. Some other damn fool like my son is paying those premiums just so you can be a jackass coast to coast.
Quite right, sir.
It's damn fools like you who make me invest in telephone stock.
Very wise of you, sir, I'm sure.
A telephone company's the only outfit in the whole country making any money. It's because of fools like you some other fool lets near a telephone. Notice the way I'm keeping you talking?
I do, sir. You must own telephone stock.
I do, plenty of it. You didn't reverse the charges, did you?
No, sir, I didn't.
Well, you'll be glad to know that both my wife and I are alive, thanks to telephone stock and damn fools like you.
When was the last time you saw your son, sir?
A few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago?
He drops by every 6 weeks or so.
Alan?
That's his name. My wife thought it was an improvement on Marvin, though I've never been sure.
Your son Alan visits you in Pennsylvania every 6 weeks?
About that, give or take a week. He has his own Collins Aviation planes, jets. A nice young co-pilot comes with him who just loves Helen's buckwheat cakes. He puts away 3 plates of them a morning and wants them again for lunch.
Your son Alan Stanwyck flies across country every 6 weeks in a private jet to visit you?
He never was much of a letter writer. Sometimes he's on his way in or out of New York or Washington.
Not always?
No, not always. Sometimes he just comes by.
Then why weren't you at his wedding?
How do you know we weren't?
Insurance men know some funny things, Mr. Stanwyck.
They must.
Why weren't you at the wedding?
It's none of your business, even if you are an insurance man. But the answer is that the time got mixed up. We were supposed to go to Antigua for a vacation. Alan was paying. He was doing all right at Collins Aviation, a vice president of sales while he was 20-something. That didn't surprise me any. I've always been strong in sales myself. So we said all right. We'd never had a real get-on-an-airplane vacation before. The wedding was supposed to be a week after we returned. Smack dab in the middle of our vacation, we got this telegram saying the wedding had been moved forward because of some big business shift in her daddy's schedule. I think his name is John. We checked the airport and no connection could be made until the next morning. The wedding was over. We missed it. I sorely would have loved to be there, though. The wife cried a little, but I figure she would have spilled a few tears even if she were there.
You've never met the Collinses?
Never had the pleasure. I'm sure they're nice folks. I never even met my daughter-in-law. Alan says she hates to fly. Isn't that the damnedest? Her daddy owns an airplane company and her husband's a pilot and she won't get on an airplane.
You've never been to California?
Nope. But we see a lot of it on television, especially San Francisco. That place must be an awful pain in the ass to walk up and down. Hills and hills. Everybody in San Francisco must be either slope-shouldered or pigeon-breasted. Now, son, what did you call for?
That's all, sir.
What's all?
Just inquiring about you and your wife.
Seems to me we haven't had a conversation at all.
If I think of anything more, I'll call back.
Look here, son, if you think of anything at all, call back. I'd be relieved to hear you thinking.
I do have one other question, sir.
I'm breathless waiting.
As far as you know, is your son in good health?